If you would find the scriptures, Psalm 121, 1 and 2. It says, I lift my eyes toward the mountains, where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray together. Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. Let him hear from his children. And you should know the segments of this. Let your heart move to being grateful and thankful. Who the Lord is, what he does, what he reveals, how he leads us through. He's good. He's a good counselor. Give thanks. Include in our praying the prayer for other people that are connected to you, close to you, overlap into your life. Some are sick, there's disease, some need financial help, some are needing Christian friends, godly truth tellers in their life, some need spiritual direction, some are just carrying a lot of emotional weight. Would you lift them up? Give their name to our Heavenly Father. As we continue to pray for others, let's pray for the nations. Continue to pray for peace throughout our world. You're going to say, well, preacher, that's going to be an enduring prayer. Pray for peace, Ukraine, Russia, the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. All the surrounding battles that are going on around Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for other countries that you know of, have an affinity to. You may have served there. You may have been on a mission trip there. You've got ministries that you bless that are there. Pray for the nations. And then you know where I'm headed next. Pray for our nation. Godly wisdom. Our hearts to return to the Lord. That we look for a Savior. We bring our prayers a little closer to you, asking the Lord to bless those who are around you, even where you're seated right now. Pray a blessing over them today, if you will. Pray a blessing over your family, wherever they may be. They may not be here with you, but pray a blessing over them. I believe in the blessing. And then, Father, we brought a financial offering today. We ask you to bless that for your work and your kingdom. And we're grateful to your faithfulness there for us. And Lord, we brought more than an offering today. We brought us, our living sacrifices, our lives to be submitted and surrendered to you. Take them, use them. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And Lord, I'm your teacher and I'm your preacher, and on me is a greater and a more strict judgment. You're harder on me than anybody in the room, and I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. So good to see you today. Happy anniversary, Hope Church. We are 26 years old today. So nine years of that at the beginning. We're mobile. And I remember when we came into this building, I'm thankful for a building. You may come into our simple building and go, man, it needs this, it needs this, it needs this, and that's fine if you do that. I'm just thankful we have it. After unloading and loading for setting up and loading back up for all those years. Instead of pictures today, I want to give you some sayings that we have in our church. We've had for a long, long time. Many of you know Wild Turkey, the distillery, is in the little community of Tyrone. And it's in every country of the world. And if you remember when we started Hope Church, we said, if Wild Turkey can go global from Tyrone, then we can go global from here, right? And we are. Your ministries are global. I remember we would say, our greatest leaders are yet to be saved. I didn't say join our church. I said the greatest leaders are yet to be saved, and I continue that saying in my mind, in my heart, and even in my leadership. I remember when we built this place, as simple as it is, people kept asking me, are we going to have a steeple? And I said, no. They go, well, how are we going to know it's a church? And I said, by changed lives. Well, no, it's a church by changed lives. One of my favorite stories is we call this the first church of Cracker Barrel, if you don't know that, because it looks like a Cracker Barrel. And we have a 200-foot front porch, and obviously it's lined with rocking chairs. There was a family in our church that went during the Christmas season to the horse park to see the driving through and seeing the light show there. And so when they finished, they stopped at Cracker Barrel to get something to eat. And their children ran up to the front door, looked at all the rocking chairs, looked back at their parents and go, is this a church? And so that's how we came with, we're the first church at Cracker Barrel once we moved here. So the Lord has been grateful. That will be in our prayer in a minute. He has been faithful to our church. I remember when he gave us the very first trailer that we had, anonymously gave us that trailer, and that has set the tone for who we are as a church ever since. And I just want to thank you. All the years of faithfulness that you've given and the years that he has been faithful to us, I just want to say thanks. I'm not good at celebration stuff, but hopefully that little saying journey we just took was helpful to you. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. As I read to you, we're still on a focus that God is strong and powerful, but a big reminder, he gives us strength. You should know verse 1, 121, 1, especially if you're in the state of Kentucky, because Adolph Rupp, the legendary coach of the UK basketball Wildcats, known as the Baron of the Bluegrass, verse 1 was his saying. He would use 121-1 all the time. We know Rupp Arena is named after him. 80% of his players came from Eastern Kentucky. And so he used verse 1 to say, I lift my eyes toward the mountains. Where does my help come from? And we know that he took good old Eastern Kentucky boys and made basketball champions out of them. And the truth of it is that expectation still exists today. Even with Mark Pope, it will be to take Kentucky boys and make champions out of them. But he used Psalm 121:1 to describe his relationship with his players in Eastern Kentucky. That's just a freebie. That's not the sermon, okay? Let's get back to the psalmist. In Psalm 121:1, the psalmist begins by saying, I raise my eyes. I want us to just focus on that for just a moment. He's talking about a prayer gesture here and a posture of eyes looking upward. And the posture of praying with our eyes looking upward is a sign of great confidence. I'm asking for help, but my posture is saying that I have great confidence that you can do this, that you are going to be my help. I grew up, some of you are in my timeline, but I grew up going in most people's houses and very often seeing the picture of Jesus having the prayer of Gethsemane when he is on his knees at the rock and his eyes are lifted up toward heaven and there's that heavenly beam that's coming down. Do you all remember that picture? Some of you all who are older remember that picture. Often I would see that displayed on the walls of people's houses as I was in their house. I want you to see that how this is a prayer posture and a prayer gesture. I want you to look at John 11, 41 through 43 for just a moment. So they removed the stone. This is when he raises Lazarus from the dead. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes toward heaven and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this so they may believe you sent me." And after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." I want you to see in this that his prayer posture was eyes upward. Look at John 17, 1. All John 17 is a prayer of our Lord. And Jesus spoke these things. He looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you." And even though I can go on with other examples of eyes upward when it comes to a praying posture and a praying gesture, you're probably thinking, well, what's wrong with bowing? Because you and I, that's our tradition. We're taught that. The Matthew 26:39 verse has the Lord, this is the Gethsemane prayer too. Jesus spoke these things, looked up into heaven. If you'll go to Matthew 26:39 there, thank you so much. Going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Now you're going with John 17 in Gethsemane, he's looking upward. In Matthew 26 in Gethsemane, he's bowing downward. Well, what's the big deal with that? Well, if you read Matthew's account, Jesus goes back to the garden three times. He goes in to pray, comes back out, checks on the disciples. Somebody asked me if they were Baptists. I said, "Sure." And they said, "How do you know?" I said, "He found them asleep, you know?" So they were sleeping. He goes back in and prays, comes back out, goes back in and prays, comes back out. Matthew has the Gethsemane prayer of him going back and forth three different times. So I don't have a problem with John 17 and Matthew 26, that in one of those areas of prayer, he's looking upward, and then one of those areas of prayer, he's bowing down. Look at Nehemiah 8:6. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and with their hands uplifted, all the people said, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So you're going, well, what's the correct prayer posture? Well, the answer is both of them. I know in our tradition, we're to bow and to close our eyes. There are times in our praying, you and I need that physical submission. But there are times in our praying, and I want to challenge you with that today, that our eyes are upward with great confidence that I'm asking the Lord for help. And I have great confidence that he is going to bring it. And he is going to give it. You're going, well, don't I have confidence when I bow my head? Yeah, you do, but there are times where our life needs a submission pose. And worship has us, the whole context of worship is really a bowing. And there are times that we need to lower ourselves. Do you hear that? Yes. Don't be proud of your humility. It doesn't work together. There are times you and I need to lower ourselves, even in the context of prayer. Because we need lowering, we need submission, we need a servant attitude and a position. But then there are times that you and I may be led by the Holy Spirit, eyes upward, eyes upward. I'm gonna go ahead and tip you off on this because we're gonna handle it later, but I wanna go ahead and do it now. That raising our eyes is going to be an act of looking past earthly things. What I'm asking for help, Nobody on earth can do it but you. I'm looking beyond earthly things. I'm looking toward God, and the emphasis is going to be later. Now, I hope to pastor you well. In a few minutes, we're going to pray together, and I'm going to go ahead and let you work through this awkwardness so that I don't spring it on you all of a sudden. But here in a few minutes, I'm going to ask us to stand, and we're going to pray together. But I'm going to ask all of us eyes upward, okay? So if you're going to go, well, preacher, I don't like that. Well, that's fine. I still love you. And I'll let you work through the process of your awkwardness till we get to that point. But when we get there today, let's just begin praying with eyes upward. And I hope the challenge of today is that you start incorporating that even in your own prayers. There are times to bow and submit. But there are times to look unto the Lord with great confidence. Look at Psalm 121, 1 as we continue. And he says, my eyes are toward the mountains. I want to remind you of the story of the Good Samaritan here. Because Psalm 121 is a psalm of ascent from low to high. And your Bible may even have that as a subtopic under the psalm reference, Psalm 121. And if you read it, you'll read later on in the verses where you got to watch where you step and the Lord will take care of you. And it's a picture of a really treacherous climb from low to high. And it becomes a picture of going to Jerusalem. And if you've ever been in the Holy Land, you go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is on a hill. That's why he says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. He's referring to Jerusalem. And so you go up. It's about a 4,000-foot climb from below sea level to above sea level. And even in the song, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful. So we're marching upward to Zion. You're going up to Zion. So the picture here is of a traveler that's going to Jerusalem or up to Jerusalem. And all eight verses have the picture of making the ascent. And so when he says, where will my help come from? He's looking at the mountains. And if you know the story of the Good Samaritan, he was coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And today, if you go over there, there's a modern road up to Jerusalem. But there's also an old road that would have been the traveling road of the story of the Good Samaritan. He leaves Jerusalem, he goes down, and he's met by robbers, and they beat him and steal from him and, leave him for dead and go on. And you know that story of the Good Samaritan. But the picture here, the picture that he's given here is he goes, where will my help come from? He's looking at the mountains, and he's going, are my robbers hiding there? Are those mountains going to be a place of ambush for me? Or are the mountains going to be a source of protection and strength for me? Is it where my enemies are going to hide? Or is it where I'm going to hide from my enemies? He's just got this question, and you see it's written as a question. It's punctuated as a question. Where will my help come from? I'm looking toward the mountains. Will it be there? Because mountains can even be a source of strength or struggle. So it's either harm or it's help, one of the two. So the traveler isn't certain. Where's my help going to come from? I want to remind me and you today that we are that traveler. We're that traveler. That's who we are. And we know that the traveler isn't certain what's going on, and neither are we. We're not certain of everything that is going on around us. And the picture here is that I am going to look beyond the mountains for my help. I'm going to look beyond them. We'll get there in just a moment. But I'm going, where is my help going to come from? I want to tell you a story this week. This week, and our anniversary is this weekend, 26 years ago. And there's so many stories I can tell about God's faithfulness to us all along the way. But this week has been a great week of affirmation. I haven't really asked for it, but just the area, Frankfort and Lawrenceburg, both cities, we serve them, have been so affirming to us that, and part of this story is going to be a little bit funny, and we've got enough to cry about. I like to at least see you smile or shake your head a little bit. But do you all know about Fairground Restaurant there on Broadway in Lawrenceburg? Yeah, it is an amen. it's you know, they're just open certain times during the week, and it's right there before the fairgrounds or the healing place. And I'm going to go ahead and confess to you, I frequently go there. I'm telling you, their fish sandwich, oh man, it's unbelievable. And grilled chicken, their bacon cheeseburger with cheese, everything, no onions, is incredible. So obviously I have them in my contact, and so I have such a relationship with them that when I call down there, they go, "Hey, preacher." That's how they answer the phone. They know it's me. They know it's my number. They know it's my voice. And I've just grown to minister to them through the years, actually. And they've had loss of loved ones recently. I try to minister to them in that. So yesterday, Friday, I was there, and it was crammed full. You know, you don't eat there. You just pick it up to go. It's cash only, by the way. Just to prep you in case you go, I don't want you to. So you don't eat there. You pick it up and you take it out. So I was there to pick up my order, and there was probably 10, 12 people just crammed in that little lobby. And so they call my name, and you know, they all call me preacher, and they said, "Preacher, your order's ready." And I go up, and so I'm paying for it. And she goes, "Are you gonna be at church Sunday?" And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Well, I mean, I could die between now and then, but you know, I plan on being there Sunday." And so I thought she was going to say, "Well, we're coming there Sunday. We want to know if you're going to be there." That's what I thought was going to happen. And so she said, "Here, take this." And she gives me $100 bill. Well, I don't like to take cash, but in that way, it would have been disrespectful not to. And I knew most of the people in the lobby. And she says, "Put this in the offering plate Sunday." And I just want you to know that I've already given it to Amy. Amy, nod for me over there, that I've already done that. And I called Amy immediately after that and just told her this story. But something just ran all over me. I'm not officially her pastor, officially. But I felt the Lord say to me that she has enough confidence in us that she gave that to us. That she has seen us Monday through Saturday. We all know how to act on Sunday, right? But she's encountered people from this church Monday through Saturday. And with great confidence, she gave that to me. And she said, "Put that in the offering plate for me." And I just felt the Holy Spirit do that as a confirmation to our ministry here that we portray the name of the Lord, and there's no better name than you can portray than the name of the Lord. And she has put the two together. When we pray and we look unto heaven, we're looking beyond anything that the earth can do for us. If we're not careful, we'll look to what things of this world can do for us before we have confidence in God to do it for us. So when we have a prayer gesture or a prayer posture of looking, it's I'm looking beyond. And that's what happens to the traveler. In verse 2, Psalm 121:2, he begins to get his focus in line. He said, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." The picture here is the focus is coming into place, and I'm not going to look to the earthly mountains, even though they can become a symbol of strength and protection. I'm going to look past earthly powers. Even though God created the mountains, he will continue to say, I am greater than the mountains. Even though he created the earth, I'm greater than the earth. Even though in a minute you'll see in a verse where he said he created the sea, and I just read recently where we've only discovered 10% of the water on our planet. 90% has not been discovered at all. As vast as it is, and he's made all that, he's saying, I am greater than all of this. And you and I have got to learn that we look beyond the world and earthly things, and we've got to look to him with confidence that he has the power to do what he says. I want to remind you of scripture verses we will use out of the New Testament, but I want to remind it to you today, and you all are going to know this. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's how you and I have got to walk. We've got to even practice that, Lord, I'm looking beyond you. I'm looking way beyond you. And notice he says in this verse 2 that you are my help. It's not only collective, it's very, very personal. David Aiken, the president of Southeastern Theological Seminary, used to be at Southern. He said, his suggestion is, you know, we often tell you we want you to know God as creator, but you need to know God as companion and guardian too. That there's a relationship with the Father, that he's always at work in our lives. There's a relationship with the Son. He is the one who brings us our rescue. And there's a relationship with the Holy Spirit that he leads and he guides us. And he reminds us of all truth. When you and I have the prayer gesture or posture of looking up, you and I are saying, I'm going beyond what I can see. We said in 2004 in January that the word trust was going to be a big word for us in 2024, and it is. When I take my eyes and look to him with confidence, and there are times you and I, the posture of our praying needs to be submission. But there are times that our praying is with great confidence that I'm looking past anything the world can do for me. Some of you may think that next promotion is all you need. That next job, that next house is all I need. You may think that we've got to look beyond anything the world can do for us and say that my help comes from you, Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let me show you how this is a theme throughout the psalmist's life. Look at Psalm 115, verses 14 and 15. May the Lord add to your numbers, both yours and your children's. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 124, 6. Our help is in the name of Yahweh, God himself, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 134, 3 says, may the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Psalm 146, 5 through 6. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea. Remember, I told you about that earlier. And everything in them, he remains faithful forever. Sometimes we look by sight. God, forgive us. We are called to live by faith. We are called to look past our earthly systems and sources. Where does my help and my rescue come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I even look past what he made, because he is greater than even all that he made, but he is beyond this. We're going to pray our PACE prayer together. And if you're new to our church, You don't know what that is. Let me help you with it, okay? It has physical hand movement to it if you want to do that. And I know that can be awkward to you. I am going to respond that Scripture does say even to men, you know, the women are more expressive at times, but even to lift up holy hands unto the Lord. So the PACE prayer goes like this. The P in PACE means praise, and we just lift our hands in praise. You're not going to lift them through three songs till your shoulder muscles burn, and we're not going to do that to you. But we're going to lift our hands in praise, and we're going to give him thanks. And I thank him for the blessings of 26 years, life transformation, the calling of God, his faithfulness to us. The A stands for we accept. And we hold our hands like a bowl or like a receiving dish. That we accept all that he has given us. And then the C is you lift your hands up and surrender control. There's control all over this room. It's all over it. And you and I need to let the Lord order our steps, the Holy Spirit to guide us, and trust that he will and that it's good. And then the E is expectation. We stretch your arms out wide. And we live and know the expectation of his work and the hope that we have in him and all that's involved in that. So you got it? So we're going to praise, or we're going to go to the bowl and accept and receive, and then we're going to release control and surrender, and then we're going to live with expectation that the Lord does add to our life. That he's greater than any earthly thing I can look at. Even greater than what he made. He is greater than all of that. So I want you ready? And then we're going to pray. Where's our eyes going to be? Our eyes are going to be upward, okay? Now, will you grant me a little grace? I'm going to have to nod down to some of the things I've written, okay? My memory's not as sharp as it used to be, but our eyes are upward. You got it? It's going to be, and don't be looking around, because if your eyes are upward, then it doesn't matter, right? Is that common sense enough? So would you stand with me, church, will you do that? Let's raise our hands to the Lord and our eyes upward to him. And Lord, we give you praise and we give you thanks for all that you have done for us. You have been so faithful to us. When we didn't have you on our mind one second of one day, you have never forgotten us. You have remained faithful to us. In the words of Samuel, Lord, as he placed the Ebenezer rock in the Old Testament, he's brought us this far. Lord, you have brought us this far, and we give you thanks for your faithfulness. Lord, we receive, let's hold the bowl. We receive and accept what you have given us, your grace and your mercy, Lord. Your forgiveness of sin, your salvation that only comes through your son, Jesus. Your calling on our lives. Lord, we accept all that you have done for us. And then, Lord, we release control. We surrender our lives. We are living sacrifices submitted unto you, Lord, and we release control. Order our steps, Lord. Through your Holy Spirit, we trust that you will lead and guide and direct us. Speak truth to our hearts and speak truth to our minds, even when we have forgotten. We know that you lead us and we trust you. And then, Lord, we stretch our arms out in great expectation to you that you are always at work, not only in our lives collectively as the church, but as individuals. And we live in the hope that you give us. And Lord, we live in the hope of your beautiful, sweet return. I know our country is looking to a lot of people right now to lead us, but God, we look beyond all that we can see and say, God, you lead us. You restore our hearts to you. May our eyes and our lives be cast on you once again. And we ask that you restore that, and we live in the expectation of that restoration. We're getting ready to take communion. You can put your hands down. Thank you, by the way. It's a beautiful sight from here to see that. Some of you even hit your neighbor, and that was even a more beautiful sight when you were doing that. So we invite you to take communion. We believe in open communion here. We not close communion with me, just members only. So if you're a believer and you've been baptized, we invite you to the table with us. And we're here to remember him, his sacrifice, all that he has done. The bread represents his body given to us, tortured for us, paid the penalty for us. The drink represents his blood shed for us so we can be forgiven and we can be free. And we were going to remember his sacrifice, and we are going to give thanks. I want you to look at the passage in 1 Corinthians 11:26. And in this, I want to give a reminder to you that when we take the Lord's Supper, you're calling him Lord of your life without saying a word. Just participating in the elements, the bread and the drink. You're saying that he's Lord. It even says that in this verse. And then also we take communion, we're looking to the expectation of his return, what we just prayed. And we're grateful and we're thankful and we look for the blessed hope, which is what scripture calls the return of Christ, that he comes back to us. So you can take it in the altar, you can take the bread and the drink back to your seat, the team's gonna lead us, you can do that. I want to give you this verse for a moment. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You're calling him Lord. And you're doing that until he even returns. I would like for you to say this prayer with me. It's Psalm 51:10. And we've been in the Psalm a lot today, the Psalms a lot. Let's say this together, okay? This is the prayer of David. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We invite you to the table. It's not my table, it's not our table, it's his table. If you're leading a life of rebellion, let this be a time of a 180 or transformation for you. It's a time of confession and repentance for you. And so the Spirit and the bride, they say, come. The team's gonna lead us, and you respond.